Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program this morning. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching in the Old Testament today in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45. And the title of the message is Salvation in a Look. And it comes from verse 22 of Isaiah 45, where the prophet, speaking as the prophet of God, speaking the word of God, he says, "Look unto me," and this is God speaking through Isaiah, "Look unto me," not to look unto Isaiah, but to look unto the Lord, look unto Christ. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, I want to show you the context of that commandment, but that's speaking of the look that brings a sinner to salvation. Salvation in a look. And this looking here is not just a mere glance or just a pass, like a passing glance. This is a gaze. It is an intent looking, gazing at the Lord Jesus Christ as the salvation of His people. And it's not a mystical look. It's not seeing a vision in the clouds or a shape in some object. It's not a dream. It's nothing like that. It's God the Holy Spirit revealing to a sinner the glorious person and the finished work of Christ through the Word of God. Looking at Him as He is revealed, as He is identified, as He is distinguished in the Word, God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation. And of course, the New Testament wasn't written at this time, but the prophet Isaiah was bringing the Word of God. And Isaiah, he had to deal with false preachers who dealt in visions and dreams and mysticism. Back in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, he says this, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them." And so whenever you hear a preacher and he says, "I've had a dream," or "I've had a vision," or "I've gotten a word from God," if anything that he tells you is not clearly and profoundly based upon what God has revealed in His written word today from Genesis to Revelation, there's no light in him. There is no new revelation. Now, God gives us new light on what He has already revealed. But this is the look of salvation. Look unto salvation. Salvation in a look. And what brought Isaiah to say this? Well, Isaiah prophesied in Jerusalem about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ actually came to earth. You know, the book of Galatians talks about that in Galatians 4:4, "In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And that's speaking of the coming of Christ in His first advent, His incarnation, His birth. And about 700 years before that was the prophet Isaiah. He was preaching, prophesying in Jerusalem, in the city. And Isaiah had much to say. His main message was the gospel, the good news of salvation by the free and sovereign grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Isaiah knew and preached as the one to come in the future, the Messiah. And Isaiah had so much revelation from God concerning, again, the glorious person, the finished work of Christ. He preached Christ as the salvation of his people. All who would be brought to faith in Christ. He preached the person of Christ. In the book of Isaiah, we have a revelation of Christ as God manifest in the flesh. God, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The child is born, that speaks of Christ's humanity. The son given, that speaks of his deity. He is God manifest in the flesh. And Isaiah spoke of him as the one who would establish judgment and justice in the earth and bring forth an everlasting righteousness. Just like Jeremiah, he said the same thing later than Isaiah, later on. And he spoke of Christ as the Lord our righteousness, just like Jeremiah. He spoke of Christ as the righteousness of God. That's what is revealed in the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. And what is that righteousness? It is the entire, complete, meritorious work, the merit of God, of Christ's work as God-man in his obedience and his death on the cross is the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of God's people, God's chosen people, the elect. And Isaiah also had a word of judgment for idolaters. Now, there were many idolaters in Israel at that time. But there were also idolaters among the Gentile nations. And back over here in verse 15 of Isaiah 45, he says, "Verily thou art a God, then hidest thou thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." In order to see God in his reality, in his nature, as both a just God and a Savior, as both a righteous judge and a loving Father, he has to reveal himself. And he does not reveal himself through idolatry and lies. And so in verse 16, Isaiah says, "They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols." Now, what is an idol? Now, you might think of an idol as a statue or a painting or some kind of an amulet or a piece of jewelry or a wooden carving that people bow down to. But you need to understand that idolatry, those things are just the outcroppings of idolatrous thinking. Idolatry begins in the mind. And what it is, it's wrong thoughts about God. Now, some people have claim to have many gods. They're called polytheists. And we know that the Bible teaches there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who is the God-man. There's not many gods. Now, I know the people of Islam and some others accuse those who believe in the Trinity of being polytheists, as if we believe in three gods, but we don't. There are not three gods. The Trinity, the triunity of God, is a mind-boggling truth. We believe it because if you read the Scriptures, you can't get away from it. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But that's not three gods. That's one God who subsists and reveals himself in three distinct persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God. You shall not have any other gods before you. So people either pervert themselves and lapse into idolatry by worshiping what they see as many gods, you know, in the ancient cultures, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of love, the god of war. You know, you've studied all that or read about all that. And that's foolishness. That's idolatry. And the revelation of God as a just God and a Savior is hidden to them because they refuse to see. Their minds are blinded. But then there's a more subtle idolatry. And that's people who claim to believe in and know and worship the God of the Bible, from who reveals himself in Genesis to Revelation, but they either deny or are ignorant of what the Bible says of this God of the Bible, this one God. For example, many people really don't believe in the sovereignty of God. But the Bible says he is sovereign. The Bible says that God is the God of electing grace. He chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. Conditioned all of their salvation on Christ. And many people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Many people have wrong thoughts of God. And they do like one old preacher used to say, they reason from the ground up instead of from the heavens down. And what that means is they think of God as being like themselves. They know human attributes. And they know something about themselves. And so they project themselves and create a God who is like unto themselves. And that's just a subtle way of worshiping self. God must reveal himself from heaven downward. And that's what he's done in his Bible, in the Bible here. In the book of God's revelation. Who is God? What is he like? What does he do? Don't speculate on that. Don't go around and get the opinions of men and women on that. Read the Bible. Know what he says. And so he says, those who worship and make idols, they're going to be confounded. But verse 17 of Isaiah 45 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Now, Israel's going to be saved. And they're going to be saved in the Lord. That word Lord there is the word that we transliterate into our English language as Jehovah. Now, the name Jehovah, is, as it's spelled out like that, is not literally in the Bible. It would be more like Yahweh, something like that, because there were no vowel points. But that's the way we pronounce it. But what it's talking about is the God of salvation. And so he says, Israel shall be saved in the Lord, the God of salvation. And mainly what it's talking about is the God who saves sinners, not good people. Good people don't need salvation. But God who saves sinners by his grace, unearned and undeserved, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God. And that's who the Lord is. So Israel, whoever Israel is there, they're going to be saved in the Lord. And not only that, they're going to be saved with an everlasting salvation. This is not going to be a temporary matter. This is going to last forever and ever and ever. So we're talking about salvation from sin, which brings eternal life. Now, the Bible tells us very plainly, Romans 5:21, for example, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's the salvation that he's talking about. And he says, you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. In an eternal existence, you won't be ashamed. Now, think about it. In myself, I have a lot to be ashamed of because I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'm in a struggle with sin, the flesh against the spirit. And my works just do not meet up to the perfect standard of righteousness, which can only be found in Christ. Many times I give in to the flesh and I have to be brought by God to godly sorrow and repentance. I have a lot to be ashamed of. But as I stand before God in Christ, washed in his blood, clothed in his righteousness, I don't have a thing to be ashamed of. I'm justified. I'm forgiven. Not by anything I've done, not by anything I've deserved, or not by anything that I choose, but I'm forgiven Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. Washes them away. And what that means is my sin debt has been paid because my sins were imputed. My sin debt was imputed, charged, accounted to Christ. And He put it away. He did away with it. And so when I look to Him, it says, look unto me and be saved. That's who I'm looking to. I'm looking to the God who saves me by His grace through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My salvation was never conditioned on me. It's conditioned on Christ. And Christ fulfilled those conditions. And so as I stand before God in Christ, I'm forgiven. My sins cannot be charged to my account. I'm a sinner. My sins are real. They're before me every day. God knows my sin. He knows my frame. He sees my heart, my thoughts. But He does not impute, charge those sins to my person. The Bible says that. It said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. And God has imputed, charged, accounted the righteousness of Christ to me. Over here verse 24 of Isaiah 45, and I'm going to come back to these verses now. He says in verse 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. I don't have any righteousness in myself. You know what righteousness is? It's perfect satisfaction to the justice of God. And nothing I do has ever equaled that. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short, missed the mark of the glory of God in Christ. But as I stand before God in Christ, Christ as my surety, meaning my sins charged to Him, His righteousness charged to me. Christ, as I stand in Him as my substitute, He died for me, was buried and arose again the third day because of my justification in Him. That He accomplished. Christ, as I stand in Him as my Redeemer, He bought me lock, stock, and barrel. He paid my debt in full. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As I stand before God in Christ, I will not be confounded. I will not be shamed. I will not be confused. I am perfect in God's sight because of what Christ has accomplished on my behalf. I stand before God in Him. So the Israel here, in verse 17, has to do with sinners saved by grace. Israel here, he's not talking about national Israel. Because the vast majority of national Israel were not saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Many of them, in fact, the Bible says most of them, perished in unbelief. Isaiah himself, back over in chapter 1, spoke of the sinfulness of the people of Israel. And he made this statement. He said, if it were not for a remnant, a small portion of the people, we would be just like Sodom and Gomorrah, which means if it weren't for that small remnant of people who were looking unto Christ, salvation in a look, you see. If it weren't for that small remnant who were by the grace and power of God brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, look to Him as the future Messiah, and repent of their dead works. If it weren't for that small remnant, they would, the whole nation, 100% would be wiped out totally. But there was an elect remnant. Paul spoke of that over in Romans chapter 11. Listen to what he says here. This is Romans 11. And he talks about the prophet Elijah. Elijah came before Isaiah. And at one point in Elijah's life, he wondered, am I the only one that knows the true and living God? There's so much rejection, so much idolatry, so much sinfulness in Israel. And here's what God told Elijah. This is Romans 11 and verse 4. God says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? And God says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. 7,000, God said. Is that an exact number? It might be a symbolic number. But anyway, here's what he says about that number, verse 5. Paul applies it to his day. He says, even so, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant, a small portion of the people. And this remnant, they were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, all of grace. God didn't look down through a telescope of time and say, well, now I foresee that these people would be better than the rest of the bunch. Or I perceive or I see in the future that these people would believe in me or they would do good. No, it was grace. Grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says in verse 6 of Romans 11, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more of grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Verse 7, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Israel didn't obtain what they were seeking for. Well, what were they seeking? Well, he tells us over in Romans chapter 9, verses 31 and following, he says, Israel was seeking, this is lost Israelites now, the national people, the physical descendants of Abraham, as a majority. They were seeking righteousness by works of the law. And they didn't obtain it. Why? Because they didn't seek it by faith. They didn't seek it by looking to Christ. Salvation's in a look, you see. They didn't seek it by looking to Christ. And God does not save sinners based upon their works. He cannot be a just God and a Savior and do that. That's how he's going to identify himself here in Isaiah 45. So he says in verse 7, this is Romans 11, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. God judicially blinded them because of their refusal. The election obtained it. So that Israel over in Isaiah 45, who shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, world without end, that's spiritual Israel. And later on here in Romans 11, Paul makes this statement. He says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, that's Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's not speaking of a future millennium after Christ comes back. That's talking about God's elect out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Well, go back to Isaiah 45. Now, this is what we're talking about. Verse 22, he says, look unto me. In the prior verse here, in verse 21, God identifies himself as a just God and a Savior. How is it possible for God to be both a just God, one who acts in strict justice, who must punish all sinners to whom sin is imputed, and still save sinners in mercy and grace and love? Well, it's through Christ, by his grace, through the blood of Christ. God has found a way. I say it that way because that we're limited in our human language. It's always been a way because God has always known this. This is God's way. But we'll say it this way. God has found a way that he can save sinners and not dishonor his justice, not dishonor his law. He can have mercy and love and grace on sinners and not dishonor his justice. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we get the term propitiation. Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And so that means justice satisfied by a sacrifice. And so if you go back over here to Isaiah 45 now, that's spiritual Israel. And he says in verse 18 now of Isaiah 45, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. God didn't create this world just to destroy it. We deserve to be destroyed. But God's going to destroy it, and He's going to recreate. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, populated by a people known as spiritual Israel, who saved by the grace of God and who look unto Christ for their salvation. Verse 18, He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Anyone who seeks the Lord truly does not seek Him in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I speak judgment and justice. And that's in the gospel too now. That just doesn't mean God's wrath poured out upon sinners. It also means God's wrath poured out upon Christ in the place of His elect, in the place of sinners, so that they cannot be condemned. Over there in Romans 8, when it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. It's followed up with verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, living, ever living, to make intercession for us. If Christ died for my sins, I cannot be condemned. Do you understand that? These preachers who are going around telling people that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, now it's all up to you, that is not biblical. That is not gospel. That's a lie. If you look unto that Jesus, you're looking unto a counterfeit. But here he says, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. Not just one segment of people. Not just one race of people. I'm God. There's none else. Salvation's in a look. And this is in a look that is brought about by God the Holy Spirit through the revelation of Christ in the Scriptures. I'll pick up here next week on this subject of salvation in a look. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.